All right. Hi, everybody. We might kick it off. So this session that we're having this morning on day three of Marxism is Remote Communities and the Abbott Offensive Against Indigenous People. My name's Kathy. I'm a member of Socialist Alternative. I'm going to chair this meeting, obviously. But before we kick it off, I just want to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, the Wurundjeri people and the Boonwurrung people of the Kulin Nations, and acknowledge their elders past and present. And also I'd like to acknowledge any elders that are present in the room today. And I'd like to also extend my solidarity and my organisation's solidarity with the struggle that Indigenous people are carrying out today. So hopefully everybody's been having a really great time at Marxism, having a lot of discussions, debates, raising questions and ideas, and we still have a couple more days to go, so please stick around. We're very lucky to have the facilities that we do here at the Victorian College of the Arts. So if everybody's just able to make sure that litter gets put in the bin and those sorts of things, that would be much appreciated. As people probably have already been reminding you, there is a designated smoking area which is out on Dodds Street. This is a non-smoking campus, so we'd appreciate if people could use the garbage bins there as well too. The building has coffee facilities just out in the foyer. And also there will be food trucks from lunchtime and dinner, so you can get dinner and lunch there. And if you don't know, there is a Red Flag bar which is open all day as well, with the snacks and beverages there, which is just over on the other side of the road as well, and there's some signage, so you should find your way there. Our speaker today is Mariki Onus. We're really, really lucky to have her here with us today. She's a co-founder of a new group called the Warriors of Aboriginal Resistance, or WAR. They were founded just last year at the G20 demonstrations, and they've really brought a real spark to the Indigenous movement. There's been a whole series of demonstrations that have been fiery and determined and inspirational that have happened, and there'll be a few more that are happening as well too, which Mariki will mention. Before we get going though, you do have on your chairs leaflets for a demonstration that is happening on the 10th of April, which is this Friday coming. There has been a change of venue, so it says there Parliament House. It will now be starting at Flinders Street Station, so please let people know about that. Okay, so without further ado, I'd like you all to welcome Mariki and, give her a hand of round of applause.
Thank you. I just want to say that the march is at 4 p.m. as well. We want to interrupt peak hour traffic on Friday afternoon, so just be mindful to let people know that as well. My name is Mariki, Gunang Gunditjmara Nations, Jiggang Garawangu, Wurring Garawangu. I will be talking today about, from my perspective, on Aboriginal community closures, continued genocide and Aboriginal resistance. I'll also go into, I'll just touch on a little bit of history because I think it's all relevant in terms of our relationship with the colonial state and the current policies that are being carried out. So I'm from the Gunditjmara Nations. These are my totems, the Burin and Jikang Blue Wren. Also the Gunditjmara Nation, of the Western District, Victoria. We had eel traps, and they're some of the oldest man-made structures known to man. There's some of the eel traps in there. So I just want to talk about some of the nations that what happened, what we have before the colonial civilization invaded 227 years ago. We had a society, our own societies, we had our own nations, As you can see there, there's a map. We had laws, still have them actually, dance, song, medicine. We have kinship structures and connection to family, people, culture. And this kind of made up our society before invasion. So 227 years ago, we were invaded by the British. So I'm just going to touch on a little bit of the invasion history because people kind of talk about it in a past tense. There was at no point in 227 years that Britain or the English Empire stopped invading us. So it's continuing today, right now. So the impact of the invasion, we can never really say how many people died in the invasion because the impacts of the invasion range from, you know, medical to massacres. And so it's really hard to capture the numbers. So this is a roundabout number of people who, I mean, I think there's more. I think that's largely underreported. In order for the English to invade, they had to commit, to expand the English Empire and for resource extraction, theft of land and wealth, they needed to carry out genocide on Aboriginal people. So if you look at what genocide actually is and how that's still relevant to today and how that's still carried out on Aboriginal people today, not just in Australia, but I believe all around the world. So forced child removal, massacres, the NT intervention, our forbidden culture. We were moved on to missions and we weren't allowed to practice culture. Particularly hear stories from some of the old ones today that I speak to. And, you know, we work really hard, the younger generation, to bring back our culture and learn our language, learn where we're from, know our totems, and learn our stories. But some elders actually, if you talk about it with them, you can see a deep sadness in their eyes because they'll say, I remember uncles and aunties knowing language and stuff like that, but they weren't allowed to tell us, otherwise they'd get locked up. So that forbidden culture, that wasn't allowed to be shared, and we had to learn the missionary culture and language. The continued removal of Aboriginal children. So before we talked about, I just showed the slide on genocide, and it was transfer of children from one group to another. Aboriginal children are being removed at greater rates today than ever in history, and Victoria is particularly bad. So that's a form of genocide onto our people that's happening. Forced community closures. I think that's, I mean, although it's deeply heartbreaking to see this such a blatant act of genocide happening to our people, it doesn't really surprise me if you put this in comparison to all the other acts of genocide that have happened throughout 227 years in Australia. It actually makes sense for them to do that for resource extraction, land theft, expanding their own empires, corporate value. And Aboriginal people, Indigenous peoples, obviously have to wear the brunt of that forced Aboriginal dispossession goes hand in hand with resource extraction and the expansion of the colonial societies where they put towns and farms. So, Tony Abbott made comments saying that, you know, it's a lifestyle choice. The taxpayers shouldn't have to fund Aboriginal lifestyle choices in communities, which is blatantly racist comments. And with that knee-jerk reaction, I think we saw rallies and reactions across Australia and the world. In fact, I think that reaction to his comments and the closures of community has been overwhelming, and it's really good to see that, both non-Aboriginal peoples in Australia and Aboriginal people in Australia have stood up and said no, and we're running marches all around the country in solidarity with all the communities. But I think it's really important to remember that forced community closures is nothing new. I mean, in Victoria particularly, I'd like to make mention to Lake Tyers Aboriginal Trust. They have been in the Department of Justice for some reason, have taken that place into administration for the last 10 years. And the conditions of life, and I'll go back to that, I'll make reference back to that slide, the genocide slide, the conditions of life imposed on our people in Gippsland, on Gunai country, is an act of genocide right now in Victoria. So it's not removed. Also, it's happened in Fitzroy. It's happening in Redfern. You can see with the community there have a great reaction to that. They've put an embassy there, Aunty Jenny Munro, from the housing development, the corporate housing developments that push communities out. And these communities, I think it's really important to say that Fitzroy and Redfern have been, that they were almost at some point in history a cornerstone of Aboriginal activism in Australia. And to remove them and to disperse the community from those areas kind of affects Aboriginal resistance and resistance within those places. So we have to come together as a community and rebuild continuously and react to dispossession. So, that's the stuff that forced community closures in WA is that, those actions define the governments that control our lives now. I'm not surprised. What we have to do in a space, we are in a reactionary space right now because we don't want those communities to shut down. The impacts that this will have on the lives of the people that live in the communities will be catastrophic. They have a right to be in their homelands, to practice culture, to have connections to their homelands, medicine, story, language. And we've more than anyone in Victoria, we can tell you now, after dispossession in Victoria, that those impacts will ring through forever, hundreds of years. This is not a solution to, I don't know if there's anyone in this room right now that actually believes that they're closing those communities because of abuse on children. It's disgusting. They lied when that happened in the Northern Territory interventions, and they're lying through their teeth right now. There are billions of dollars sitting on top of every Aboriginal person's heads that live in those communities. Don't think for a minute that it's about social issues there. So what? Where to now? So we have to fight, obviously, what the cause of those issues, resource extraction. Resource extraction goes right to the core of Aboriginal resistance. Aboriginal land is part of our culture and who we are, and if we don't have that the opportunity to practice culture, the land is our greatest cultural asset, not an asset in a colonial term, an asset in it means everything to us. It is a part of us. Our DNA has been a part of the land from the first sunrise. Our DNA is actually in that land. It's a part of us. There's a snapshot of, 227 years is only a short snapshot to the eternity that we've been here. And I'm not sure if I can actually explain the spiritual and emotional connections that we have with our land, but if you destroy the land, you'll destroy our people. So I'm part of a group called Where Is the Aboriginal Resistance, and some of our philosophies, and it's important that we keep our history alive. And I think our warriors, I think it's about educating our people on who our warriors are, who kept the resistance going, who continue the resistance and the struggle and fight colonisation, just like Dundalee, Bundjalini, Pemulwuy, Yagan and the rest. Have done, and it's important that we keep their stories alive and we learn about what they've done and we teach our children the colonial governments and the colonial society are not going to teach us what we need to know for our freedom. We are the only people that can do that. And so that's, I think that we have to talk about our heroes and our warriors, because that keeps the resistance alive. I've just got some photos here of some Aboriginal, some of our warriors from when we launched our group. Decolonisation, I think that's really important for us as Aboriginal people to liberate our lives from the colonial control that's been put on, to the violent force of colonial control. That means we don't want government control in our lives. The best thing that we can do for every Aboriginal community is for the governments to leave and those communities to become completely self-determined. We should support that to happen. And every community has the power to do that. It's not for someone from outside of that community to come in and dictate to them what should happen for them. We have a publication called Black Nations Rising. I'm not sure if you heard Emery Douglas yesterday. I think that it's a fun, we have to write about our own struggles and educate our own people. It's so important for that to happen. And I put, you know, every part of my faith behind Black Nations Rising. It's Black voices, but it's completely independent. You can say whatever you like in this magazine, and it's about Aboriginal resistance. So please support our publication, which we, you know, young Aboriginal people get together and work tirelessly with, you know, little to no funds. We often put our own money into it, but that's not even the point. There is no end to what we'll put into this magazine, our blood, sweat, tears as well. So what can we do? What can we do for Aboriginal community closures? So here's some, you know, we can be in a reactionary space and mobilise when Tony Abbott says something crazy and racist. Or, you know, we can all feel heartfelt when, you know, the heartfelt apology that Kevin Rudd gave. I mean, essentially they're both supported by the same system that commit genocide against us. So how can we get into a space where we mobilise, where we organise Aboriginal resistance to work to stop the genocide? That's my objective, is to stop Aboriginal genocide. I don't have the answer on how to do that, but I know that we have to organise each other and look after our own community. I believe that decolonisation has to play a huge role in that. What you can do practically, come to our marches, our rallies, support our movements. We have a rally coming up on the 10th of April. I hope you can all be there. It's 4 p.m. on the steps of Flinders Street. We're going to be there for a little while, so bring a warm jacket, because our intention is to shut down Melbourne again. Because, you know, what kind of cultural, how does Melbourne support our culture? How does Melbourne, you know, I mean, if you can put it, there's a spin on the irony of us shutting down Melbourne because it no longer supports Aboriginal culture or our way of life. So why should that be on Aboriginal land?
Shut down Melbourne and shut down Australia.
Yes, help us shut down Australia. Support, if you want to support us, support our publication, donate, support Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance. Don't celebrate Australia Day. We call it Invasion Day. Also, I think in terms of decolonisation, the stuff, the products that you use every day affects, whether it's an Indigenous peoples here, it affects an Indigenous peoples everywhere around the world. I mean, don't support, companies that, you know, the resource extraction, buying gold. If you buy gold, that could be coming from the largest gold mine in West Papua, which supports the genocide in West Papua. Be mindful of your everyday actions and how that might affect people around the world. I know it's, you know, a really hard space to get into, but we have to become conscious about our decision-making every day. And, you know, I was thinking about this yesterday. I think The land is so important to us, and as we go into a space of decolonisation, wherever you can, revegetate Aboriginal land. You know, we need to heal the land and our people together. I mean, there's no separation from that. So, yeah, I think I've come to the end of my talk, and I hope you understood about where our perspective as Aboriginal resistance, where is it the Aboriginal resistance in Aboriginal community closures and Aboriginal resistance. So thank you.